Hi, this is Mike Young with Noble Warriors. You're about to hear a message entitled, Make Her Beautiful, What Husbands Must Do, presented by Jay Payleitner. Jay is with the National Center for Fathering and comes to us today from St. Charles, Illinois. This workshop was part of the Iron Sharpens Iron Men's Conference hosted by Noble Warriors at Spotswood Baptist Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia on Saturday, February 27th, 2016. I pray the message will challenge and encourage you as you walk with Christ and lead your family.
You know what? I'm going to jump in here only because the first 81 seconds is an ad. I just wrote a book called What If God Wrote Your Bucket List? And I'm laughing because the pastor who just spoke talked about a bucket list kind of thing. And let's see if this makes any sense at all. Let's see if this works. I'm advancing, I think. Kyle, just need to push the red button. It was working. Oh, of course. No, that's my joke. That people go. I've stood in front of audiences and people say, "What about Bob?" Or "I liked you better in Jaws." And then I do this. It's like no. So we'll move on from there. That's my joke. But this is my my book.
Question: what is on your bucket list? Stuff to check off before you cease to exist. Like see the splash of a humpback whale, hike the Appalachian Trail, chase a tornado, see an erupting volcano, stand on the equator, wrestle an alligator, dye your hair blonde, run a marathon. Ride London's tube, solve a Rubik's Cube, dinner at the Ritz, give and get the perfect kiss, visit Stonehenge, walk across Abbey Road with three friends, scuba dive the Great Barrier Reef, maybe just turn over a new leaf. Checking every box guarantees a full life is your destiny. Or you may look back and realize your bucket is empty. Maybe a better question is this. What if God wrote your bucket list?
There you go. That's so fun. I just finished that last week with my video team. And so I had to show that to you. But anybody here have a desire to walk across Abbey Road with three friends? You guys all get that, right? Y'all get that?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if people would get that. Anybody here wrestle an alligator?
Yeah.
How about run a marathon? We got some marathon runners here probably, right? A couple of you? Hey, the two oldest guys here in the room, if we have run the marathons, is that right?
Hey, Ron?
No. what is the other one? My son. I've got a son who can do a Rubik's Cube in like 1 minute. You give him Rubik's Cube in a minute, he'll have it back. Anybody else have that? It's crazy. It's like, what? There you go. All right. If you guys, I'm going to just jump in. Is that okay, guys? Are you guys in the back there? Been married. I kind of write books for husbands and ideas. People who've been married about 7 years. That you remember those years? Like, okay, I'm not a newlywed anymore. What have I gotten myself into? It's kind of my mindset here. But I've been married. We'll get to that. Let's begin. Right away, I'm going to give you something right away. Let's begin with things not to say. What's that?
Is there an app for that?
Hey, sweetheart, I see they opened a new women's fitness center just down the street. We do that. We say those kind of things. How much was that haircut again? $9. I can get my $9. $9, right? And nothing. Your haircut costs nothing there. There you go. What happened to your skinny jeans? Well, that's not wrong, I guess, but let me show you how my mom did it. Did you really need another purse or a pair of shoes? Didn't we just have this for dinner last week? What the heck, guys? Maybe cook a meal once in a while. Here's a great one, and I think I've said something like this. I'm not hungry. I had a late lunch with Amber from marketing. Oh, man. Oh, here's one, and I've said this too. You know those mugs you bought? They don't fit in the dishwasher. Now, that's telling your wife that she's stupid. You know these mugs you bought? They don't fit in the dishwasher. There you go. Gentlemen, no one knows you. You know how to push your wife's buttons. No one knows her like you. You know what ticks her off. You know the kind. You know, before you say those things, you know that. So why do we say them? Instead, say things like, I love, how's your day going? And then sit and listen. You know, I'm so glad to be home. Because even though, again, women sometimes make more money than guys these days, and I know she's not June Cleaver waiting at home for you with pearls and a little house dress on. Excuse me. But she thinks home is her place. That's her place. Even though you're paying for it, she's paying for it. But it's her place, and so it's her domain. So when you say, man, it's so good to be home, that blesses her. Guys look in the mirror. Guys look in the mirror and we go, oh, not too bad. I don't know why we do that. But women look in the mirror, they don't like what they see. You need to know that, guys. Women look in the mirror, they don't like what they see. So when you just say, hey, beautiful, that speaks to her. How about this one? Could you help me? Women want to help you. Your wives want to help you. Could you help me? I'm trying to figure out something at work. Can I talk you through this? She likes to do that. And here's a nice one. I'm a better man because of you. No, I'm a better man because of you. We're gonna all say that together. Ready? I'm a better man because of you. Boy, she would like that. Three extra kisses that night. I learned a lot of this through trial and error. It took me years and years and years. And of course, holy cow! Look at that. 1979. Been married 36 years. Applause, applause. Does that make me an expert in marriage? Well, it gets me ahead of some of you guys and behind some of you guys. But you know what does sort of make me an expert in marriage is this. My folks were married 60 years. You know what? And statistically, because they were married 60 years, my marriage is going to be stronger. And my kids' marriage is going to be stronger. So that's a reason right there to stay married, guys, is for your family and your friends and the generations ahead of you guys. Think about it. They were married, my dad passed away 5 years ago. My mom passed away just 6-8 months ago, and I miss them. And it's a good thing to miss your folks. But think about what they went through. 1950, they were married in 1950. There were only a few TVs in town at that point. Think about that. But again, I got married in 1979. And my Rita was a shy little girl. And she was 30 years at home raising kids for the most part. And that's what she wanted to do. But she did the PTO stuff, and she was a PTO president at a couple of schools and the booster club presidents. If it hadn't been for Rita, I'd be living in a van down by the river for sure. My little shy little girl that I married, when our baby went off to college, she ran for alderman, and so she's an alderman in town doing breaking ground at the shopping mall there. She's in the white coat there. I didn't know I married a politician. I like strong women. Strong women are good things. We need to encourage women to be strong. I like strong women. So do my four sons. I have four sons, all out of college and married to these wonderful, wonderful gals. And there's a couple, just between my daughter's there, the third on the left there. But the rest of them are my daughters-in-law. So here's something to kind of think about from this picture. If you just have, anybody here just have boys or just have girls? You know what I'm saying? You'd like a daughter. Maybe you have boys and you'd like a daughter. You have daughters, you'd like a son. I have five daughters now and four sons. Growing up, I had four sons. All this testosterone in the house. And now when we get together, there's more girls than guys. So keep loving on your kids, and they'll bring home awesome spouses. But you know what? This is nothing. These 11, these characters. No, nine. Characters, that's nothing. This is something. These are three cousins, Jack and Judah and Emerson. So the Paylight, her name lives on. And then even in December, we had another little one. That is Reese, born December 21st. And she was with my wife all day yesterday while I was flying here. And my wife is an awesome grandma, and she's still hot. And I love her desperately. Why am I a marriage expert? Please don't call me a marriage expert. Here's how this whole thing started. I wrote this book for Harvest House, and suddenly we sold 150,000 copies. And they said, Jade, you got anything else you can write? And to the same audience, I wrote this one kind of to the same audience. And that's most of what we're going to talk about today. Now, if you want to bring home something to your bride, I mean, this is for you guys. If you want to bring home something to your bride, you can pick up a copy of this. But don't buy just this one. I'll kick your... I will not let you buy just this one. I mean, maybe you could buy this one, I suppose. But and if she's... she maybe for Mother's Day, get her this one, because that's for both husbands and wives. This is not a hard sell here. I'm just kind of having some fun with this. But basically, I'm not a marriage expert. I'm just a beggar who found some bread, some things that worked in my life. I'm a beggar who found some bread, trying to tell other beggars, you schmucks out here, what kind of some things that worked for me. All right, can I do that? So there you go. Books are 10 bucks each, and we're good. So here we go. I'm kind of jumping in here. That was my introduction. Can we pray for, let's pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for getting us together here. What a fun room this is. Guys, you just want to be better husbands, a little less nagging, maybe a little more sex, if that's your will, Lord. But more important than that, we just surrender to you. There's a sense, Lord, that we can't do any of this stuff without you. And so be here. If the guy who speaks up here can make one point worth saving, that's a blessing. And we just trust you. We know that that you want the best for each one of these marriages represented today. We love you and trust you. In the name of Jesus, who went to the cross for each of us. Amen. Here we go. Here we go. Some of you guys still put mommy first. What the heck? I know she cut the crusts off your little sandwiches, and she tucked you in, and she made you soup, but you love your mommy, but you ain't married to her. Sometimes you need to help your wife understand your mom's perspective. If this is some kind of debate or argument or conflict. You need to help your wife understand your mom's perspective, but do not take your mom's side in the argument. That is just a recipe for disaster because Genesis 2:24, a man leaves his father and mother, and you cleave, you become one flesh. So gentlemen, cut the apron strings. That's kind of like job number one. And by the way, if you have a daughter, she's also ahead of your mom, if you can do the math on that. If you have a daughter, she's also ahead of your mom. So when grandma says, and my mom did this, my mom was perfect except for this flaw, she thought all her granddaughters were fat. It's just unbelievable, if you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you know what? Don't eat that. It's like, what? Mom, it's my daughter you're talking to. All right. And very smart, smart, smart men do this. Excuse me. When I cough, is that like terrible loud? Is it okay? Can I do that once in a while? So when I have men and women in a room, I do marriage conferences, and I'll say to the women, okay, don't speak out loud, but decide for yourself if your husband comes home with a treat for you, would you rather have flowers or chocolate? And then I'll say to the guys, what do you think your wife would prefer? Don't say it out loud, and they think about it for a moment, and a third of the time, they're wrong. A third of the time, the husband would bring home the wrong thing. So figure that out, guys. Talk to her. Ask her. And then a week later, bring one of those things home. That's the more sex part we're talking about. You know what? Don is a wealthy man. He can he'll bring home both flowers. Dan. Okay. Well, right. Oh, right. Yeah. You know what? And flowers don't have to be $24. You can walk into a florist shop. You can literally do this and say, "Man, I just got $7 in my pocket. Can you put $4? I got $4 in my pocket." And the girl at the counter will go, "Oh, that's wonderful. She put something together for you." You can literally say that. So it doesn't have to be $25 or a dozen roses.
Or your neighbor's garden.
Potted plant. Although, I don't know why. Potted plant isn't... You think it's good, right? You think a potted plant is a good idea.
Good.
What? Well, then you know that. See, well done, Richard. You think that a potted plant's going to last longer. For some reason... She likes to throw those flowers out in a week. That's part of the deal. Wow, crazy. It's the thought that counts. I had a friend years ago. I worked on Michigan Avenue in Chicago. And Friday he said, "Jake, can I borrow $5, $10, $10? And I said, "Yeah, sure, absolutely." He goes, "I have to buy my wife flowers." "Oh, did you get in trouble? Are you in the doghouse?" He goes, "No, I buy her flowers, bring home flowers every Friday. I bring home flowers every Friday. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?" It's a bad thing. You know what I'm talking about? The first time he brought home flowers on Friday, was that a good thing?
Yes.
How about the next Friday?
No.
Sure, absolutely. But about the third or fourth Friday, it's like, it's nothing. They're meaningless. So better to do the surprise things. You know what? Flowers on Valentine's Day and Mother's Day, that's nothing. You expect it. That's too bad. But do the surprise flowers. Do the surprise flowers. For no reason flowers. Write that down. That might be your takeaway. If you guys get one or two takeaways from today, that's golden. That's maybe one you want to keep. Here's another one. Okay, so... once in a while you go someplace nice. So we're going someplace medium nice. And I'm upstairs standing in front of my closet getting angry at Rita. Why am I getting angry? Because I know that whatever I put on, I'm going to come downstairs and she's going to say, "Is that what you're wearing? That your pants need ironing?" And I've stood by the ironing board in my boxers with her ironing my pants. "Or you need a tie with that, or those socks don't match." It's like, what? You can't even see my socks. Okay, they know. And that's good. They want you to look good. So brilliantly, instead of coming down and listening to her rag at me, I said, "Is this okay?" It's like me saying, "Woman, I'm telling you what to do. You're going to tell me if this is okay or not." Puts me back in charge. So that's a great one. Use that, guys. Is that okay? Everybody say that? Is this okay? Is this okay? Yeah.
There's a way to say that, though.
Oh, sweetheart, is this okay?
Yeah, because if you walk out, is this okay
now? Well, of course, yes. Give Everett a hand over here because he's exactly right. Hey, sweetheart, is this okay? But you're really in your heart saying, "I'm in charge of this." Right. So I promise you that we're going to get less nagging. Asking this kind of question is the ultimate weapon against nagging. Okay, you're coming home from work. Again, I understand that maybe she's different schedules kind of thing. But you're coming home, and you want to just plop on the couch and watch TV or read the newspaper or play with the dog or even goof with the kids. She's got stuff going on. If you walk in the door and say, Hey, sweetheart, anything I can do for you? What's she going to say? No, I'm covered. Well, she might say yes. David, right. She might say yes, and if she has something for you to do, you want to know it. You do. If she has something for you to do, you want to know it. But 9 times out of 10, she's going to say, no. And then what can you do? You can plop on the couch. You can read the newspaper. You can play with the dogs. You can go do your warfare, whatever, I don't know. And this works before you make weekend plans, before you come to bed at night, anything I can do kind of thing. And when she says no, you're off the hook. So there you go. Ask, is this okay? Ask when you come home. Anything I do for you, sweetheart? I stir Rita's pots. I'm not judging her. I'm not judging her cooking. I'm not even stealing a taste. When a stew, a chili, whatever, I walk in and I just stir the pots. I do that. And it just ticked her off. The first 99 times it ticked her off. But about the 100th time, what did she do? She didn't tell me. She just learned to live with it. She's like, well, okay, this is my husband. And we joke about it now. It's a joke. So am I saying drive your woman crazy? No, I guess I'm saying they might feel threatened that you're invading their space. Don't do things that are hurtful or mean. Apologize. I guess the takeaway is that, you know what, if the rest of what you've got going is going pretty good, she's going to put up with you stirring her pots. Similarly, when I pulled up into the driveway, she used to leave the mailbox open. It drove me crazy. Ridiculous, right? But the mailbox should be down. But about the 100th time, I go, wait a second. That means that my sweetheart is home. She's gotten the mail. I can go in, give her a smooch. So you kind of learn to get through these kind of weird little stupid things. Don't let those get in the way. So stir her pots and don't get mad about the mailbox. Men need to be good at apologizing. Men need to be good at apologizing for 3 reasons. We mess up more. We're risk takers. We're going to go out there. If something needs to be said to a referee, God darn it, we're going to tell him that thing, right? If something needs to be done, good or bad, we're going to do it. We're going to take one for the team. Men need to be good at apologizing because we're more likely to fall on a grenade. We'll do that, right? We're going to apologize, even if it's like 80-20, even if she's wrong. Even if she's 80% wrong, it is not wimpy for you to go, sweetie, I'm, whatever got going here, I'm really sorry about this. This is, you know, so do that. It doesn't have to be like this major, oh my God, I'm so sorry, but sweetie, I'm sorry. We need to get back on track here. What can I do for you? So the apology, take one for the team. Do that, guys. We need to be good on, we need to fall on the grenade. And of course, the number 3 reason that we need to be good at apologizing is because our wife is, our brides are gatekeepers at romance. And she can last months. I don't know why that is. There's an 80-20 rule here. I know I'm going with the conventional wisdom that guys need more sex than gals. That's about 90% of the time true. If it's not true for you, I get that. That's the kind of thing. I've been challenged on that concept. But our wives are gatekeepers at romance. So when we finally do apologize, which we will, the only question is, what took us so long? Come on. Again, you guys know your wife better than anybody, and you know how to push her buttons. I made a list of what Rita likes. And Rita likes fireworks and parades and cute babies and goofy-looking babies and TV commercials with babies. She likes warm feet, and she likes fresh flowers, and she likes fresh snow. She likes frozen Cokes and drinking straws. My wife likes drinking straws and craft magazines. Is there anything here really, really expensive? No. But I made, what's that? Well, no, just look at the babies. Well, here's the point. Here's the point. I will, if I you know, walking by a picture window and there's a fresh coat of snow, I'll call her over. Hey, sweetie, I got snow. I know you like snow. Or if there's one of those silly commercials with a baby doing something goofy. Yikes. I will rewind and say, sweetie, come look at this commercial, and she likes that. Or I'll, you know, I'll pass a newsstand and buy a craft magazine or make sure. I promise you that I'm going to make sure she has one of these things from me, kind of a surprise, for every week for the rest of her married life. I can promise you that. Just because I knew she would be reading the book, I wrote a list of things that I like. down pillows, petting doggies, a good chopped salad, grilled pork chops, strawberry rhubarb pie. I like my entire table, my entire family around one table. That's so great. Even better, I like my entire family in one pew. When there's like 15, 12 of us, that's 14. Wow, 15, I think. Wow, can't keep track. I like boxers. I like brick sidewalks. I like the Star Spangled Banner. I like beef jerky and black Sharpies. And a good pair. I like a good pair of scissors. A good pair of scissors, you know? Where are the good scissors? I like scripture that applies to real life challenges. I like lying in the grass on a sunny day. Again, not expensive things. But here's the point. Husbands and wives should know each other. And you know how to push each other's buttons. Now, if this does not make sense to you, it's like, that's because you've got to make your own list. Make your own list. So right now, even in your head, or maybe even jot down three things. Just jot down real quick, three things that your wife likes, if you're up for that right now. You don't have to. But if you got just three things that are less than $10, and you can keep, you know, think something you can pick up at Walgreens or CVS, something that think of her five senses, something that she likes, something to look at, or something to smell, or something to hear. You know what? If you hear the good, you know, one of these good country songs by this song, it's like, hey, sweetheart, well, it's easy breezy. Please don't put sexual favors on there. Unless you really, never mind. TV programs. Anybody want to share one or two? Anybody want to just jump out and yell that one? Yeah. Take it to Kohl's? The department store?
Yeah.
Your wife likes going to Kohl's?
Oh, yeah. Target. Honestly.
So if you say, hey, sweetheart, you want to make a Target run? Yeah. They would like that. All right.
Can we buy a candle while we're there?
That's very funny. Yeah, what? One, two, give me three more. What?
Sushi. Your time.
Your time? Oh, see, your time. No, see, that's too generic. And well, you're right.
My wife says the same thing.
Yeah, I'm teasing you.
She don't want me to be in the room with her. She wants to be engaged with
her. Yeah. Oh, well, yes. With your sons, you're doing this. With your sons and your best friends, you're looking out and doing. But with your daughters and with your wife, you need to this face to face. There you go. Yeah, what do you got back there?
A walk in the park.
Your time. That is the same thing. Candy corn. So when's the last time, Alejandro, that you brought your wife candy corn?
Whenever I see it, because it's hard to find when it's not Halloween.
Okay.
So
when's the last time? I'm asking, when's the last time?
A month ago.
Okay. That's not too bad. You don't want to do it too often.
No.
Dunkin' Donuts, not every day, not even every week, but every 10 days or so, bring her home one. Easy breezy. Well, a couple more, yeah. You think that. You think that. When I bring something home, I get yelled at, do the dishes. Well, love languages. How many of you guys have read the Gary Chapman book, Love Languages? Do that. If you haven't, you know what? We should just stop here and read the love languages because it's better than anything I have to say. Good. Thank you, gentlemen. Get the idea. Push your buttons. Yeah.
Yeah, I make my wife smoothies.
Smoothies. And you, it's not a purchase. You make it at home. You throw some, strawberries or peaches or ice cream or milk. And, very good. All right. Here we go. How are we doing? Everybody enjoying yourself? Okay. You've got 20 signals, and she misses most of them. You come home and say, I've been thinking about you all day. Okay, here we go. It's Wednesday, and you throw out some signals. And she will have none of it. And this could be right after you come home, early, late at night. But listen here. Let her, and you might have a conversation about this. Like, you know, I'm sorry, I don't ever want to pressure you again. But the guy at the conference said that you're never, that I should let you postpone sex. Because for wives, I say never say no to sex. Because here's the idea. On Wednesday, she says no, but make sure that you get from her maybe Friday. Yeah, let's shoot for Friday night. Okay? You guys can wait 2 days, right? Some of you guys can't over here. But what's going to happen those next 2 days? You're going to be nicer to her. Work is going to go better. You could lose a big sale Friday afternoon. You could get fired Friday afternoon. But if you know you're going to get some Friday night, it's a better day, right? So let her postpone sex. It's really okay to put sex on the calendar or postpone it a couple days. So have this conversation. Be silly about it. It's in both these books. But I guess my point is, well, there's two problems with this. She has to follow through, and you could blow it. And you know how to do that. Anyways, in any case, please don't force your wife to have sex. Make it mutual. And you guys are not animals. Well, a couple of you are. But, all right. Gentlemen, you need to cherish her. And that's what I write in books, the husband book, cherish her. And then in a book for wives, I write, be captivating. Be captivating. Cherish her. You need to cherish her. You need to rejoice in her. And she needs to be, that's their job. It's right there in Proverbs chapter 5. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Not your third wife. Some of you might be on your second or third wife, and I get that happens. But really, the best plan is rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, she's put on a few pounds and a few wrinkles, but rejoice in her. And then her job is that she captivates you with her love. That's her job. So figure out how to make that work. Anybody of you Bible scholars know what's in the dot, dot, dot?
Yep.
Tell us what's in there.
Something to the nature of
may her breasts satisfy you always. So Proverbs 5, chapter 5, 18 through 19. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. That might be my life verse. You guys are too easy. Yes.
Is the husband's responsibility to cause his wife to be captivated?
I think it's a dialogue you have. You know what? Maybe intentionally open up to Proverbs 5. I was reading Proverbs 5. I mean, yeah, she needs to know the concept. That you're hoping that. That's why you married her, to be captivated. And she is captivating to you. She is. She doesn't know that. Your wife doesn't know how beautiful she is. Your wife, did you get that? Maybe you don't tell her enough. Maybe you, but your wife is beautiful. She's beautiful. Your wife not maybe beautiful to him, but she's beautiful to you. Yeah, on a Bible study, Proverbs chapter 5. I saw this thing. I promised my sweet dear to rejoice in you. What? Let's see if there's an assignment for you in here. I don't know. Something like that. Okay. Thank you. Excuse me. What? That wouldn't work? What? What is it? What? What? You don't think that would work?
Telling her she has an assignment.
Well, no, no, no. If you've got, if you, well, no, you don't want to be, it could be. But yeah, this is a great verse for marriage. Huh? You know what? Not an assignment. Yeah, you can say this. Wow, that'd be awesome. You know what? You don't have to work on it. You already are. Something like that. This, we're all in this together. So you know what? If I mess up and misspeak, let me know, okay? Not too loudly. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. We'll talk about this afternoon, but this is in marriage. In marriage, there's entirely, it's probable that your wife, not always, but it's probable that your wife spends more time, your bride spends more time with the kids than you do. She has secrets and she knows things about your kids that you might not know because she spends more time with them in general. And she likes it that way. She likes to be the better parent. She wants you to be involved. She wants you to change diapers, but she wants to change diapers better than you. She wants the toddler to run to you, but she wants to be there at the first steps. My golly. I went when my older son was living in Chicago. We were in the western suburbs. He and I met halfway for lunch one day. I didn't tell Rita about it. He was 22 at the time, 23 at the time. I met him for lunch. I didn't tell her about it until later. I said, "Oh, I had lunch with Alec today." She was ticked. How dare you spend time with one of our kids without me? So just be aware of that she wants you to be a great dad, but she feels she has a special connection to kids. And the other thought is, you know what? That's why there's both moms and dads. So work on, that's another reason to work on your marriage, is for those kiddos. Because when kids climb a tree, when you're rooting for them to go higher, and she's saying, too high. Snakes and cannonballs off the high dive and catching many marshmallows and standing on a toboggan going down the hill. These are things that dads endorse and moms don't get. And that's okay. She wants you to be the dad. The way to test that is, if you have a second grader and there's a lunar eclipse that night at 2 a.m. and it's a school night, does mom want you to get your little second grader up?
Nope.
But should you?
Yeah.
And what happens the next day at school when junior falls asleep? The teacher says, "Well, what's going on? Are you okay, Timmy or Sally, whatever?" And the kid says, "Well, my dad got me up last night for the lunar eclipse." And all the other kids in the class are all jealous. And how long will he remember that?
Forever.
What's that from? Forever.
Sandlot.
So part of the fun of being a dad is making mom cringe. Oh, no. Do this, guys. Do Saturday. Do the yard work. Do the sweat. What? You know, you don't have to know the difference between daffodils and chrysanthemums. You don't. When she says get the flat of chrysanthemums, I'm planting them, or whatever, just get them, sweat, dig, give her the day once in a while. No? Yeah? Makes sense? Give her the day. Then you're dirty and sweaty, and then go take a shower, maybe together, and then take her out to dinner.
Together.
Ask.
Together.
Together.
For dinner.
For dinner. Well, that's up to you. And then take her out to dinner, and if we put something nice on, and come down and say, "Is this okay?" So do Saturday.
Never ask her if that's what she's wearing.
Is that what you're? No, there's no reason to. do Saturday, and do the church thing. This Sunday, there will be 13 million more women in pews than guys. Now, you guys are here, you guys are committed, I understand that, but still, that's something to be aware of. Do the church thing. And I know church is wimpy sometimes, or uncomfortable, or you want to play golf, or you worked hard all week, and you want to take it, but do the church thing. It's good for your marriage. There's a study that said couples who go to church together have better and more frequent sex. So that's another reason to go to church. But also, I mean, beyond that, don't just stop there. Do a small group. You guys do small groups sometimes? A lot of you guys in small groups? Accountability partner? Okay, make that happen. And take this even a step further. And here's three verbs for you. Do, model, teach. I don't know how to be the pastor in my home. Well, yeah, just do, and then model, and then teach. So you pray. Make sure your kids see you pray. And then when the time comes, teach them how to pray. Do, model, teach. Go to your small group. Do. Let them know that and talk about what you talked about in your small group today. You're interacting that with them. And then encourage them to, you know, hang out with their buddies and do middle school and that kind of thing. So do, model, teach. Read the Bible. Make sure they see you reading the Bible, and then teach them how to do that. Tithe. Make sure that they understand that it's a sacrificial gift. And then encourage them. When they get their first job, you know what? You know what? And the Bible says 10%, but if you can just put a buck a week in the basket, that would just make you, that's just such a great feeling. Honor your parents, sing praise songs, volunteer, respect your wife. Those are all things to do. Let your kids see you do those, and then teach them. But if you do the first two, you're kind of already teaching. Not going to spend too much time on this either. But it just makes you feel dirty. It just makes you feel cruddy. It makes you angry even. If you stumble across something and you look at it a little bit too long, don't you feel cruddy afterwards? And it puts ideas in your head that you shouldn't have. For very selfish reasons. For selfish reasons. Flea porn. It makes you less satisfied with your wife. Why would we do that? Why would we look at something that makes us less satisfied with this girl we love so much, who is so captivating to us? How stupid are we? And then the idea that girls get involved in this because they think it's empowering. There are, you know, 20-year-old girls who do this kind of stuff because they think it's empowering. And that's just, it's just not, and it just makes me mad and angry and frustrated. So let's choose to be repulsed by it. And your church and your pastor, and there you got guys that you can talk to about this. Okay, moving on. Except for this. If we're going to flee something, what are we fleeing towards? And that's 2 Timothy 2:2:2. That's an easy verse to remember. You need to look this up, guys. Lots of twos in there. Lots of T's. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee the evil desires and pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. And do that along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what? I've debated with scholars on this. If you have a problem in this area, you can talk to your accountability partner, maybe a small group, but an accountability partner. Don't tell your wife you're working on a problem with porn. She won't get it. She'll be angry with you. She won't get this because men are wired different than gals. If you've done this and you work through it, that's fine. If you have this awesome, awesome wife, we'll understand it. But she won't. She'll think you're cheating on her. And she'll always be questioning whether you're still doing it. Yes?
It's not only bad for your mind, but it's also supporting human trafficking.
Yes, there are other reasons. It's a $1 trillion industry kind of thing. I've chosen to talk about how it's self for our own purposes. We shouldn't do it. But you're right. There's longer ministries that cover all those reasons, all kinds of reasons not to partake in such things. But just for yourselves, guys, because it's just creepy and makes you feel cruddy. By the way, that's another reason to avoid it, because if she finds out, it'll just hurt her. It'll hurt her desperately. If she finds out, looks at your browser history or finds the magazine, whatever. All right, moving on. Put more energy into this, guys. Now, I'm not saying that you need to see her as beautiful. You need to see her as beautiful. Every wrinkle, every pound, every gray hair, you need to see her as beautiful. She'll know that. But I also truly believe that you have the power to make her beautiful. Yes? Yes? Hello? Hello? If you love her and cherish her, she will radiate that beauty on a very physical, real level. If you listen to her stories and smile back at her, her eyes will twinkle and glow more. If you take long walks together, and do things, you'll feel healthier. You'll both feel healthier. If you take her to beautiful places like museums and flower shows and the seashore and theater and cathedrals and art galleries, if you take her to beautiful places, she will reflect that beauty. Remember the TV shows King of Queens and Everybody Loves Raymond and According to Jim, with these fat schlubs, these schlubs have these beautiful hot wives. We like that. We like that, don't we? It's very. We want our wives to be hot, so encourage her. Don't tell her. Don't say. Remember the very first thing we said. You know they opened that women's fitness center down the street. Don't do that. But you guys know how to encourage her and love her, and make her beautiful. Yeah. Treat her the way you want her to feel. Yeah. Yeah, it probably goes for every human relationship. But especially your bride. Because you've left and you're cleaving with her, you're one with her. And the better she feels, the better you feel. So treat her the way that you want her to feel. Thank you. That's a great word, repudiate. It's a great word, repudiate. Every couple has a signal, or every couple should have a signal, that across the room at a PTO meeting or at some dinner party or at something where your family gathering, where you can look across from her and see her across the room and do a little signal, whatever it is, tug your ear, touch your nose, wink at her, mouth, I love you. That's a very valuable signal to have. It's like you and I, we're in this together, sweetheart, you and me, no matter what happens. I know Uncle Joe is just being a complete ass and saying something stupid, but you and me together here, or I know this PTO meeting is going forever. We're in this together. It's just a very valuable thing to have. You might even do this intentionally, create something new, or there's ways to do that. But it's valuable for this reason. If you were having a bad day or did something really stupid, on the way driving to this event, you're not speaking because whatever, something you did stupid, okay? But across the room, catch her eye, do your signal, and she will have to forgive you. That's part of the rules. It's part of the rules of marriage. She has to go, oh, man, I love this guy. So never repudiate. What's that? Oh, because you're talking to somebody. You're gathering. You're at a gathering. You're sipping your coffee or your margaritas, whatever you guys do up here in the Northeast. Where am I? I'm in Virginia. Where am I?
Mid-Atlantic.
The Mid-Atlantic. Thank you. I'm from the Midwest. I'm sorry. I apologize. Virginia. It's for lovers, right? Is that right? Is that a scam or is that legit?
Marketing.
I appreciate that. Supposed to be done here at noon. What time is it? Good. All right. There are some problems that you have in your marriage that are just that need that you might need to take, go to a counselor, talk to your pastor. There are some that are really tough. But there are some like, oh my golly, she likes creamy peanut butter and I like crunchy peanut butter. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? You buy two jars. Who makes the bed? Who makes the bed in your house? The last person up. Some answers are okay. Oh my golly, your vinyl record collection is out of order. Really? Well, figure it out so that if she happens to look at something, that she puts it back on top so you can put it away yourself. I mean, there's some problems that are not that challenging, guys. We make a big deal out of thermostat. Oh, thermostat wars. You know what? Invest in a space heater to put on her side of the room or get a down comforter for yourself, something like that. What if there's a problem that does not have an easy answer? Is compromise a good thing? No, compromise. We need to avoid compromise. Because then nobody's happy. You know what? She likes Italian and he likes Mexican. You're going to go to an Italian Mex restaurant? You can't do that. And you go to some restaurant that serves both, and it's just not good. Neither of them are good. Oh, yeah. That's your big date. That's Dan's big date. Hey, sweetheart, I'm taking you out to dinner. The food court. He wants to live in Seattle, and she wants to live in Miami. Kansas City. As best my notes say that. Kansas City right there. That's so funny. Okay, marriage. Do the math with me. Marriage is not 50-50, guys. It's 100-100. And I can prove that. If you start keeping score, you lose. Because she's going to put more into the marriage than you are, probably. You could take today as a challenge to do more. I can prove, though, it's not 50-50. When she says, I'm going to bed. Ah, man, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. She lets the dog out. She makes the coffee for the next morning. She puts out the outfit. She makes sure the doors are locked. You might do that, but she does. She sets out this. She checks out the kids. Okay. When a guy says, I'm going to bed, what does he do? He goes to bed. You do the doors. Okay, well, okay. Again, Jared's a better dad than all of us. He does the dogs and the doors.
Dad's in charge of security.
That's right.
Yeah.
Feels safe, feels well.
Still, she has 15 rituals before she goes to bed, and you got a lot left. Okay. The year was 1983. Some of you guys weren't even born yet, you punks. So I'm 2 years behind. We're 2 years behind on our mortgage. My wife is hiding bills. I'm miserable in my work. I was selling law books to attorneys, walking around with a 28-pound briefcase, selling law books to corporate attorneys. It was terrible. I had three ratty three-piece suits that were just, it was terrible. And she knew it. She knew that it wasn't right. That I wasn't right. We were right. We're in a good church, that kind of thing. But there was just not. This just wasn't right. We've been married about 4 years. I can remember her with our two little boys. We had two little boys at the time. I'm standing in the kitchen of our little house that the wind came through the walls. She looked up at me and said, "Jay, I don't have faith in you anymore." Which was the exact right thing I needed to hear at that point. It really was. You had to be careful. Now, she could have taken the boys and gone live with her mom and dad. She could have made some kind of ultimatum, but that she knew exactly what I needed to hear. And here's the idea. I wrote that on a 3x5 card. I don't have faith in you anymore. I don't have faith in you anymore. I put out a 3x5 card, put it over my desk, and we started talking more. We started talking about hopes and dreams and what I really wanted to do and how to be, how I could use my creative skills. And this led directly to another job, which led to another job, which led to another job, and I could see how God worked all this. So I'm standing here and talking to you guys today. You guys are believing some of what I'm saying. So here's the point. She could have looked down at me and talked about how disgusting and miserable and how we were broke. But she said those things. As hard as they were to hear, she joined me in the bottom of that pit. So you're going to go, and I pray, and some of you guys have gone through some tough times with your marriage and money and a sick kid or something going on or ministry failure. Hard. But you need to join each other in the bottom of that pit. Talk and work, and it's going to take both of you climbing and scraping and lifting each other up to get out. So when you hit bottom, kind of rejoice in that just a little bit, even as you're working. Because when you hit bottom together, you can climb out together. So when she's in the pit, you join her. Join her down there. And when you're in the pit, pray that she comes down to join you. We kind of covered this a little bit. You married each other to chase your dreams, to fill in each other's gaps. Acknowledge the difference and celebrate the difference. Thank goodness that she does things that you can't. Thank goodness that you do things she can't. It makes you interdependent. Next, an assignment from Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with your wife whom you love. Here it is. Tolerate life with your wife. No, enjoy life. How do you enjoy life? How do you enjoy life with your wife? You kiss. You know what? Kiss better, guys. There are ways to kiss better. Kiss without expectation. Kiss when you don't have garlic morning breath. Look at her. Put your hands on both sides of her face and just say, "Man, I love you." Shh. Give her a little kiss. Okay, practice on the guy next to you now. No. do it in the middle of a busy day. Kiss in the middle of a busy day when there's no way that you can be talking and trying to jump her in the sack. Kiss when there's no way that you're going to be asking for sex in the next couple hours. And don't forget to kiss in the kitchen. It does three things. It tells your wife you love her. It tells your kids that they love you love their mom. And it tells your kids that there is romantic expressions of love within the confines of a committed marriage relationship. They don't see that. And if your third grader says ew, or your teenager says, "Get a room," you know you're doing it the right way. What?
If you play your cards right, you can stir the pot behind her back.
You know me too well. All right, here's an experiment now. This is something to talk to your wife about. I asked a group of women, if your husband came home from work, that idea again, and gave you a good 8-second kiss, would that be a good thing or a bad thing to them? Is that a good thing or a bad thing to them? It's a bad thing to them. Why? Because she knows she's going to be fighting you off for the rest of the night. She's got to put the kids, and she's got to do this. She's got things to do. Now, at the same time, let's say she had a really good day, and she was thinking about you today, and you were in a really good place. She could enjoy that 8-second kiss. She could enjoy it without Without if she knew there's no expectations coming. So here's what you need to do is talk about this, and then for the next week say, listen, at least once a day we're going to do an 8-second kiss. Is that okay with you, sweetheart? Talk about this. Talk about this. I've made this challenge out, and I've got some emails back on this. Yeah, we did it, and it worked. 8 seconds. How long is that? In my book for wives, I talk about how sad women are that marriage, that we all are, that marriage isn't sexy anymore. The magazine, it used to be the magazine, the Cosmopolitans and the 17 magazines for single gals, or magazines for women used to say, blah, 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 your husband, blah, 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 your husband. Now they say, blah, 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 your man, or that kind of thing. It's like because, and Victoria's Secret, I used to recommend going to, guys, go into Victoria's Secret's. But now it's getting creepier and creepier. Am I right? Am I right? It used to be like, yeah, go do that. You can go surprise your wife with something. So you need to figure out a way to do that.
It's not a gift for them, though.
Well, no, but yeah, you can do it right. If you can do it the right way, the right thing, and the right little jammies kind of thing, not a creepy thing or a wonderful thing. But there we go. Quiet. Bill's speaking here.
When things are busy, sometimes it's good, and you can take her and slow her down.
Does this have something to do with Victoria's Secret?
No.
Okay. Oh, yes. The slow down kiss. Put your. And again, this particular slide, you've got to talk about. We're going to kiss for 8 seconds. Can I kiss you for 8 seconds? I promise there's no ulterior motive here. And email me. Track me down. Email me if that works at all. Who's going to do that for me? Anybody going to try that? All right, very good. What time we got here? I should have my 11:50? 11:48? No, we're good. Real quick, Malcolm Gladwell, who wrote The Outliers and several business books, he talks about 10,000 hours. How you can't be good at something until you put in 10,000 hours. Any of you guys read that? The Beatles... My second Beatle reference today. The Beatles, from 1960 to 1963, they went to Hamburg, and they played 1,200 8-hour shows. That's 10,000 hours. Bill Gates, when he was 13, got access to the high school computer room programming by the high school teacher, and between 13 and 18, he put in 10,000 hours. A violin virtuoso who starts in kindergarten will practice for an hour, 2 hours every day from kindergarten through 18, 10,000 hours. If you put an hour into your marriage, which is a lot, but let's say put an hour into your marriage every day, that's 27 years. So you guys who've been married less than 27 years, you're not experts in marriage. I am. Who's been married 27 years or more? There you go. You remember a time when it's like you crossed over this line. It's like, oh, we're in this for the long haul. You know what? I trust. We trust. We get each other. Nothing's going to break us up. If there's a problem with the kids, we know how to handle it. We have our little secret languages. We know what to do. So you guys who are like at 16 years, you think you're experts? No, keep plowing through. But when you're at about that quarter century mark, 27 years, you go, oh, this is an awesome, awesome thing I have here with this wonderful woman. I promise you, put in your 10,000 hours. Because Mark Twain said, love seems the swiftest, but is the slowest of growths. No man or woman really knows what perfect love is until they've been married a quarter century. Mark Twain. Yes, well, it's... You know what, Rita? You've been a pay lightener longer than you were. Right, yeah. Okay, well, there you go. Finally, it took you 18 years to cut the apron strings. Well done, Everett. and along the same thing, you know what? You met this wonderful girl, and you wondered if she was the right one, then you fell in love, and then you got to think about you were engaged, and you were planning a wedding, then you're newlyweds, and then that you weren't anymore, and for many of you, kids came along, and they were diapers, and they were toddlers, and they were this weird seasons of the PTO years, and going to their sport, sitting in bleachers at band concerts, and then some kids got sick, and you got through that, and you moved once or twice or more than that, and then there were some new jobs in there for him and for her, and there were seasons when you can't pay the bills. There are seasons when you can't pay the bills, and then there are seasons when you have just a little extra money. It's like, what should we do with this? And then there are teenagers where it's kind of you against them sometimes, or they're great kids, but you're not sure about their future. And then suddenly you're planning a wedding for them. And then maybe one of you gets sick for a while, serious or not, there's a surgery or two. Then your parents get sick, and one they die. And then you're an empty nest, and then there's retirement. I mean, the seasons, guys, it's a beautiful thing. If you're going through a tough time right now, I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but some of you here are going through a tough time. Somebody next to you might be going through a tough time, and that's okay, because there's life in the desert. There's life in the desert. Jesus hung out in the desert with Satan for 40 days before his ministry began. The Israelites marched through the desert before they got to the promised land. John the Baptist eating honeycombs and locusts, but he was in the desert when he said the best news of all time, Jesus is coming. So there's life in the desert, and there's cactuses, and there's snakes and lizards under the. So there's life in the desert. So don't curse the desert, guys, because it's one of the seasons. Because you can trust love. Love never fails. Love is patient and kind. It doesn't boast. It doesn't dishonor. It's not self-seeking. You don't get angry, guys. Some of you guys have some anger problems. Don't get angry. Love isn't angry. And it doesn't keep record of wrongs. Some of you guys keep records of wrongs. Come on, let them go. I'm talking to you now, not your wives. You know what? If your wife's hanging on to something, keep loving her through that. It does not delight. It rejoices in the truth. It perseveres. It trusts. It never fails. Let's pray. Well, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each one of these guys here and the marriage and the privilege to hang out with them. And if they got one or two thoughts that they can hang on to, Lord, I am just so blessed by that. We love you. We trust you. And we're glad that you have brought these beautiful, beautiful gals into our lives that we can cherish. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Almost done here. You guys saw that I put stuff on your chair. If you want to fill out that card, I can give you my email text. The books are $12.95, but $10 each. I have a credit card. Cash is faster if you got cash. And that is that. Thanks, guys.
I trust this message has provided practical encouragement to you in your journey with Christ. Please visit noblewarriors.org to learn how Noble Warriors serves churches as they equip men to walk with Christ and lead well. God bless you, friend.